The question we ask for this study, what shall we preach today? There are a lot of things that are being preached and proclaimed today over the airwaves, and you have to wonder sometimes where it's coming from. There are those who want to preach a social gospel. Everybody go along to get along. Or get along to go along, ever how that phrase goes. We also have those who want to proclaim of wealth of gospel, that now the faithful you live, the more money you'll have, the more you'll be better off. Well, I believe the book of Job took care of that little situation when Job was faithful unto God, yet lost all his wealth because Satan came after him. And we understand true riches in Christ are not necessarily those that are of the world. While we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness with the assurance that all these things will be added unto us, Matthew 6:33, we see the necessities of life granted unto us and not the full riches of life. So when we think along the line of what is preached today, might I submit to you that we preach Jesus Christ. As we go back to Acts the 9th chapter, verses 19 through 22, we find that all Saul did when he obeyed the gospel, he preached Christ in the synagogue. He proved Christ in the synagogue. He confounded the Jews in the synagogue. And he simply preached Christ as the Son of God. We see that in verse 20 of Acts 9. So let us think, what shall we preach today? I believe we would do well to simply preach as Saul did concerning Christ as the Son of God. And let's look throughout the life of Christ from birth to resurrection and see if anything else was preached differently. Number one, we shall preach Christ as the Son of God because it was done at His birth. You know, one of the sweetest, kindest gestures bestowed upon me as a gospel preacher is to hold a newborn child. As I speak to you, I'm looking at pictures on my office wall that I have of where I'm holding one of our newborns shortly after birth. I would not trade those moments for anything. And when I think of the newborn child, I think of joy among parents. I think about happiness among friends, the dreams for tomorrow, and of course the spoiling from grandparents. But you know something? No birth ever impacted the world more than when Jesus Christ was born. The declaration of the angel Gabriel unto Mary in Luke 1 and verse 35 said, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." My friends, we preach Christ as the Son of God because, well, it was done at His birth. It's worthy of our consideration to see Matthew's account in Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18, when Matthew writes through inspiration, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, as did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." He would save his people from their sins. He would be God with us. How beautiful of this thought. As we studied in an earlier broadcast, John 1:14 affirms that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Yes, Emmanuel, God with us. So, what shall we preach today? Well, we shall preach Christ as the Son of God because it was done at His birth. In His birth, we have that Son of God in whom we preach today. Christ entered into the world to save man from sin. Number two, what shall we preach today? We shall preach Christ as the Son of God, because not only was it done at His birth, it was done in His life. Listen to the declaration of Peter in Matthew, the 16th chapter, starting with verse 16. If you remember, here they are on the coast of Caesarea Philippi, when Jesus asked the question, "Whom do men say that I am?" in verse 13, we come to verse 16 to where Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. For I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." This is based on faith and certainly not on opinion, an observation by a scholar by the name of Vaughan. And true, it was shown and Peter believed it because of faith and not because of what people said. If he went by what people said, well, he would say, well, you're either one of the following, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the other prophets. Here's what they're saying, but here's what I say because I believe it, Christ. And you know, although Peter would falter along the way, and although Peter would be weak, he made that declaration based on what he saw and what he believed. The Son of God had that authority to promise the building of the church from this text. The church, which is His body, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. We note that He is to be placed over, or He was placed head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. He's the Savior of the body, Ephesians 5, 23. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. He had the authority to promise the building of the church wherein Christ is preached, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2, and wherein are the saved, Acts 2 and verse 47, the saved that are in Christ, Romans 8 and verse 1, where there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So in His life we have the Son of God whom we preach today. Luke 19:10 tells us the Son of God that has come into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. We shall preach Christ as the Son of God because it was done at His birth, but also it was done in His life and people believed and followed. Number three, we shall preach Christ as the Son of God not only because it was done at His birth, nor done in His life, but because it was done at His death. Matthew 27:54 tells us, "Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly this was the Son of God." Now the authority of a centurion, a Roman military officer, was to be received. We learn this from Matthew the 8th chapter, verses 5 through 13. And we recall the Gentile convert Cornelius, who was also a centurion, Acts 10 and verse 1. In other words, when these men said something, they had strong authority. I guess it's like the old saying, if they could tell you a puppy could pull a freight train, you might as well hook the puppy up, because it's true. A centurion had great authority, was looked upon to make good, solid decisions. So the centurion making this declaration, this was a man of authority that nobody was going to mess with. So as we think about Christ as the Son of God and preaching Christ as the Son of God, in His death, we have the Son of God whom we preach today. He is an example we are to follow as He bare our sins in His own body on the tree, 1 Peter 2:24. As God made Christ to be sin for us, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He paid the price that I may be saved. So we shall preach Christ as the Son of God because, indeed, it was done at His death. But number four, we shall preach Christ as the Son of God not because it was done at His birth and His life and His death, but also because it was done at His resurrection. In the preaching of Christ, Paul declared such in Acts the 13th chapter, verses 33 and 34. Yes, this same Paul, who earlier as Saul was preaching Christ, as we see his ministry continue in Acts 13, starting with verse 33. God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that He hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, This art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that He raised Him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, He said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Paul was to write later in Romans 1 and verse 4, and declare to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. My friends, in the resurrection of Christ, we have the Son of God whom we preach today. By overcoming death, He reigns with the Father on the Father's right hand, Hebrews 1:3. He made it possible through His resurrection for me to live eternally. We note that from Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Notice how Paul, as he would preach Christ and uphold Christ, notice his defense that He was the Christ. Paul had no doubt. When we think about Philippians 3 and verse 8, Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of it, which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. My friends, His birth, His life, His death, and resurrection all declare, this is the Son of God. What shall we preach today? That's it, my friends. Every sermon should be spawned from that beautiful statement, the Son of God. John said at the end of the Gospel of John, John 20, verse 31, But these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. To one that is not a Christian, I would submit to you to move on that faith and be thankful for the blessing of repentance that the Son of God taught, and do as the eunuch did and make that confession from Acts 8, verse 37, when Philip said to him, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he, the eunuch, answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And of course, to one that should walk faithful with God, Paul said in Galatians 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Dear friends, this is what we shall preach today. We will preach Jesus as the Son of God, and none other can make that claim. Because it was preached at His birth, it was preached in His life. It was preached at His death. It was preached at His resurrection. Everybody could. My name is Jeff Archie, and thank you for joining us once again on this broadcast. Acknowledge, truly, this was the Son of God. Are you obedient to the Son of God this day?